Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you find at the very top of Daf Yud Aleph. Mozgu loy es hakois v'omar hareini nozir mimenu. A cup of wine was filled up in front of so-and-so, and he said, I am a nozir from it. Harei ze nozir. Well, with that, he becomes a full-fledged nozir. 30 days of nozir observance. It was an incident, a story involving a woman that had become inebriated. And they filled up a cup of wine. And she said in her drunken state, Hareini nazira mimenu. Very similar to the opening phrase of the Mishnah, where he declared, I am a nazir mimenu. Omru Chachomim, and the Chachomim ruled, Lo niskav nazu elo loymar harei hu alai korban. The Chachomim said that she did not have any intention to accept formal nazirus. All her intention was that that cup would be forbidden to her. Now, this is a situation we find throughout the Shas. We have an opening law taught in the Mishnah that by saying hareini nozir mimenu, here he becomes a full-fledged nozir. And then a story is brought, and you would assume that the story is brought to illustrate the opening halacha. And in fact, throughout the Shas, when maisim are brought, that is their purpose, to support, to strengthen whatever halacha preceded them. But in this case, as happens from time to time, we have a story that actually contradicts the opening law. In this story, we saw her say, Hareini nazira mimenu, and she did not become a full-fledged nazira. And that's the Gemara's opening question. Maisa listor. Do you quote a maisa to contradict? That's out of character. Amris reisha hareizen ozir. You ruled in the reisha that when he said, Hareini nazira mimenu, he becomes a nazir, and he's ozir for 30 days in drinking any wine. And then you teach a story, a story involving a woman, and in that story, she did not become a full-fledged nozir for 30 days. From the story involving that woman, all you see is that one cup that was in front of her, she became forbidden, but not forbidden in drinking other wine. So structurally, what do we do with a Mishnah like this? The Gemara answers, note that we have a long answer marking. Chisure mechasro v'hochi kotani. The Mishnah is taught in an abbreviated fashion, and the correct understanding of it is as follows. Mozgu lo esakois v'omar hareini nozir mimenu. A cup of wine was filled up in front of an individual, and he said, I am a nozir from it. Harei ze nozir. Through that, he becomes a full-fledged nozir. V'im shikorhu, and here's the new information that we didn't see in the Mishnah, and that is in that if the person spoken of was in fact drunk, v'omar hareini nozir mimenu, and in his drunken state he says, I'm a nozir from it, eino nozir. He does not become a nozir, and then the Mishnah continues with the story of exactly that kind of case. My taima. Why is it that he doesn't become a nozir? Keman diomar, because in saying while drunk, hareini nozir mimenu, it's keman diomar, it's as if he said, harei olai korbanhu. This cup of wine is upon me like a sacrifice, namely just like a sacrifice, an item that's sanctified you cannot benefit from, so too, this particular cup I have forbidden upon myself. V'chitema lema hochi. Well, if that's the guy's intention, so shouldn't he just say that? Namely, Harei Olai Korban. Why does this guy in the Mishnah that who's inebriated, and he says, Hareini Nazira Mimeno, and you're explaining that his intention is simply to forbid upon himself one cup. Why doesn't he say then, Harei Olai Korban? Answer, Sovar, he figures, Maisin Li Achrino Umitzaron Li. The Meforshim point out that it's the way of society to, we'll say, take advantage of the drunken man. People like to see a person who's drunk drink more and more and more. And he doesn't want that pressure. So he figures that if he would say that this cup, this particular cup, is forbidden upon me, that won't stop those around him from trying to get him to drink other cups. Therefore, Amo Lahu Ha Milsa, the Psika Lahu, I will therefore say something that is very final, very definitive. There, namely, the term he used was nozier, and that will convince them that I'm serious, that I don't want to be bothered anymore. Umaisenami Bishachas, and in fact, a story like that took place with the woman in the Mishnah. Let's go glance at Tosfos just to see that what we said. You can find in his commentary four lines from the top. Vim shikohu komer alai bekorban pirush shederech bnei adam. It's the way of people lahafsir b'shikoh shiyishtet, to pressure a drunken man drink more, more, more. Ve'ato eino rotsa lishtos. This guy who is in fact a bit intoxicated, he doesn't want to drink anymore. Ve'omer nozirhu, and he says, I'm a nozir. The Salkum Melech, to distance and remove those people from upon him. Shim lo yomar nozir hu, if he doesn't say that we'll say that extreme language, yore, he's fearful, shiavu lo kais achir, they'll bring him another cup. Lekachomer nozir lesalkum legamri me'olov. And that's why he said nozir. Avol kisheino shikor ein derech laftziro. If a person is not drunk, this is not the case. It's not the way of people to pressure a totally sober individual to drink more and more. Therefore, in the case of a sober individual who says Hareini Nazir Menu, he's really accepting upon himself real Nazirus. It's not just a mere attempt to push people away from him. Lekach Omer de Nazir Mikulhu, and because of the case of the drunken state, he said, I'm a nozir from all wine, when, as we said, that really wasn't his true intention. Umaisinami bisha achas, that was drunk, and we saw that the chomim pointed out, well, Ruth, she's not a real nazira. She was simply trying to get people away from her while she was drunk. The Mishnah. Hareini nozir, almanas, shehe, shoise, yayin, umetame, lemeisim. Hareize nazir v'yosir b'kulan. Person accepts himself upon himself nazirus in a very strange way. He says, I'll be a nazir on condition that I will be able to drink wine and that I will be able to defile myself to the dead. Two very stark violations of formal nazirus. We should point out that he is, let's say, denying the wine prohibition and defilement to the dead, but he is agreeing to other aspects of Nazirus. Let's say, for example, he's accepting the prohibition of cutting one's hair. So someone like this, the Mishnah rules, in fact, becomes a Nazir, and he is banned or prohibited in all nazir-related activities. In other words, he cannot drink wine, he cannot defile himself to the mace, to the dead, as well as not take a haircut. Another case. Yodeani shiesh nazirus, aval eini yodea shanozir osir biayin. He says, I know there's such a thing as nazirus, but I don't know that a nazir is forbidden in wine. Harei ze osir. He becomes a nozir and is forbidden in all nozir activities. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon says he doesn't become a nozir. This is a function of Rabbi Shimon's opinion that one does not become a nozir unless he stipulates each item of nazirus. with regard to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, and we've seen this in the past, either you say, Hareini Nozir, I am a Nozir in an unqualified fashion, but once you say that I'm a Nozir from one aspect of Nazirus, that is not enough to bind you until you enumerate each one of the points. So in this case, he's not enumerating the wine prohibition, so he doesn't become a Nozir, because once again, according to Rabbi Shimon, once you start enumerating the details of Nazirus, you have to name or point enumerate each one. Another case, Yodei ani shanozir osir b'yayin. I know that a Nozir is forbidden in wine, says the individual, avol sovur hoyisi, but I thought shechachomim matirinli, that the Chumim would certainly release me. Mipnei she'ein ani yochol lichyos elo b'yayin. They would certainly release me from the wine restriction because they know that I cannot live without wine. Oh, mipnei shani kuiver es hamesim, or that I am a grave digger. I bury the dead. So a person who acknowledges there is Nazirus but is assuming that he would be released from the Nazirus because of these considerations, so he does not become a Nazir. Rabbi Shimon Oser. Let's take a look at Rashi. V'im omar yodea ani shenozir oser b'yayin aval sovur hoyisi kishehizarti, when I accepted the Nazirus min hayayin, so that I thought that when I accepted Nazirus, the Chachamim would release me from it because I can't live without wine. Oi, Rashi goes on, I know that a Nazir is forbidden to bury the dead, and when I accepted Nazirus, that the Chachamim would release me from the Nazirus, because that's my profession, burial of the dead. Harei ze muter. So the Tanakama ruled he is not a Nozir. The Gloy Milsa Lamafreya. It becomes retroactively clear to us. The Mikarlo Kabalolei Nazirus Miayin Tumas Mesim Veloki Velolov Elochatzi Nazirus. That this guy initially accepted upon himself only partial Nazirus. The ruling of this Mishnah, particularly when you see Rabbi Shimon says he's bound, is a little bit, problematic, because here you have someone that is accepting partial Nazirus, and in the section just before this, Rabbi Shimon says that partial acceptance is not enough, and here partial acceptance is not enough to bind you, and therefore you're not a Nazir, and here you have an example of partial acceptance, and Rabbi Shimon says he is bound to the Nazirus. Osir means he's bound to being a Nazir. This will have to be explained later in the Gemara. Once again, we're going to open the Gemara, focusing on Shitas Reb Shimon. Before we go into the Gemara text, though, let's glance at the side where we have a topic heading, where we've written Machlokes Reb Yeshua ben Levi v'Ravina b'mayi Shitas Reb Shimon. We're going to have an Amoraic controversy concerning what is the opinion of Reb Shimon. He says, I will be a Nozir on condition that I can drink wine. The Reb Shua ben Levi have a Kabbalah b'miktsas. As far as he is concerned, it's a partial acceptance of Nazirus. V'lochein lo havi Nozir. Therefore, he does not become a Nozir. The Ravina have a Masna Mashikos v'Torah. According to Ravina, you have a fellow making conditions that contradict the Torah. In other words, the Torah just says that a Nazir is prohibited in drinking wine, and here he's accepting Nazirus on condition that he can drink wine. And one who is Masne from Loshon Tnai, one who makes a condition contrary to that which is written in the Torah, the Tanao Botel, his Tnai, his condition is void, V'lochein Havi Nazir, the condition is simply disregarded, and therefore he is a Nazir. Having presented the Shitas, now let's take a look in the Gemara itself. The Gemara asks, just like Rabbi Shimon disagrees in the succeeding sections of the Mishnah, where a person said, Yodei Anishiyesh Nezirus. We saw in section example 2 of the Mishnah. A guy says, I know there's Nezirus, but I don't know that a Nazir is also in wine. And Reb Shimon said there that the Nazirus doesn't get off the ground because he wasn't makabel all the details of Nazirus. What about in the beginning of the Mishnah? The first case of the Mishnah. He said, I'll be a Nazir on condition that I can drink wine. Or that I can defile to the dead. There's also a partial acceptance of Nazirus. We mentioned, when we learned the Mishnah, we mentioned he's accepting the haircut prohibition. So you have partial acceptance of Nazirus there. Why don't we see Rabbi Shimon ruling in section 1 of the Mishnah? It should say Rabbi Shimon Matir there as well. If in section 2, as a result of, we'll say, partial Nazir acceptance, Rabbi Shimon says that is not enough to bind him, similarly, he should have ruled in section 1. The Gemara asks, Felifloig Nami Rabbi Shimon Beresha. Should not Rabbi Shimon have also expressed his dissenting opinion in case 1 at the beginning of the Mishnah? Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Choluk Hoya Rabbi Shimon Af Beresha. In fact, Rabbi Shimon does disagree with regard to the Resha as well. And when Rabbi Shimon rules in the Mishnah, he says, Rabbi Shimon Matir, his heter, as a result of not accepting all the details of the Nazirus, extends to case 1 as well. Ravina Omar, and note we have a long marking. Ravina takes 4 lines to develop. Ravina Omar, Beresha lo polig Rabbi Shimon. In the Resha, Rabbi Shimon does not disagree. He agrees, he's maskim, he agrees that the fellow will be a Nazir. What happened in the Resha? He said, Hareini Nazir almenas, on condition, she'eshoy se'yayin, etc. My time all, why will Rabbi Shimon agree the fellow is a Nazir in the Resha? Mishum Davilei, because that guy is masne al mashikosub Torah. He is making a condition against that which the Torah dictates. V'chol ha'mas al mashikosub Torah. And he who makes conditions contrary to the dictates of the Torah, tano botel. His condition is void, and you remain with the basic vow of, namely, of Hareini Nazir. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar Loch. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi responds to that interpretation, and he says, "Hi Almanas, this fellow who said Almanas kechutz domi. It's like saying." Chutz means except for. Now, in order to appreciate this a little further, we're going to go through Rashi. First, we're going to start with Rashi. Dibur Masil Ravina. Ravina Omar, the last of the narrow lines. Ravina Omar, Beresha Vadai Lo Polig Rib Shimon. Rib Shimon, according to Ravina, would not express heter permission in the Resha, would agree that the fellow becomes a Nazir. Dilu Hasam Kivan Yama Hareini Nazir. In that case, he said, I will be a Nazir. Kivel Olav Kolteras Nazir. At that point that he says Hareini Nazir, he's accepting all the details of Nazirus. Vahai Da'omar Almanas. And the continuation of his statement, namely Almanas, on condition that, Havile Kemasa Mashkosabut Torah. It's like one who makes conditions against the Torah. The aim to know klum. His condition is void. The havilei nazir gomor, and he is therefore a full fledged nazir. The havilei kamish omar. It's tantamount to someone who's getting married, and in marriage there are Torah expectations of a man's obligation to his wife. And he says, "Amanas shein lo chalai sheir ksus v'yon." He says, "I'm marrying you on condition that you have no claims of sheir." Of the food sustenance, clothing provision, and ona and conjugal relations. Anyone who gets married stating conditions like that, his condition is starkly against the Torah's expectations of a man to provide those things to a wife, and therefore his condition falls by the wayside, and he is obligated to provide her with all those things, even though he made his marriage conditional that he wouldn't. For the Rashi continues, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi Omaloch, Bereishon Ami Poleg, Rabbi Shimon will dissent in the Reisha as well, and Matir Dahai Almenas, the statement of I'm accepting the Zirus Almenas Sheshesian Tamlemesim, Kechutz Domi. It's like saying I'll be a Nozir except for Kevan Shikiba the Kibol of Nazirus Bemiksas, since his acceptance of Nazirus is only a partial acceptance, lo have a masna amashikosa b'Torah. He's not making a condition that is a direct total contradiction to the Torah. Dilu Lagabi Mandomar Amanas Shame Lo Halai Lo Sher Veloksus Velo Yoino Lo Kibol of Klum. A man, like we saw in the example Rashi mentioned before, that he's not going to provide his wife with any of the husband obligations. He didn't accept any obligations. Therefore, the stipulation falls by the wayside. Avalocha kibilov b'miksas. But in our case, in the Mishnah case, he accepted something. For example, the isur of the haircut. U'mishumachi havei t'no kayom. Therefore, since he's not a total contradiction of the Torah, his tanai is not, we don't say his tanai is void, it exists. Now, the Eino Nazir, why would Rav Shimon say he's not a Nazir? The Fishain Dvorov Harishonim Klum. His Kabbalah B'miktsas, his partial acceptance, is not sufficient. Mishum del Rabbi Shimon lo havi Nazir achi Yozir Bekulan, because of Rabbi Shimon's opinion that you don't become a Nazir until you enumerate all of the Nazirus details. So, as far as this machlokes is concerned, Ravina views a person who says almanas she sheisi antam and mesim as a masa mashkos of the Torah, and the tanai is thereby void, and therefore he is a nazir. And Rabbi Shua ben Levi says it's not a case of masa mashkos of the Torah; it's in effect partial acceptance of nazirus, and that is not sufficient for Reb Shimon for a person to become a nazir. Tanya Kavose de Ravina. We have a Tanaic source supporting Ravina that holds even, let's say, a partial denial in conditional terms is considered Masne Alma Shikosuf Batorah. Omar, the source says, Omar Hareini Nozir Amenas She She Seyayin Umetamele Mesim. The very case we saw in the Reisha of our Mishnah. So we want to just add, like we added before. He says, I'll be a nazir on condition that I can drink wine and defile to the dead. He, however, does agree to accept the haircut prohibition. Hare ze nazir. He becomes bound to the nazirus. V'asur b'kulan, and he is prohibited in all the nazir prohibitions. Because he is considered making a condition against the Torah, even though it's not a total contradiction to Torah, it's enough that there's some element of Torah contradiction, making his tanai, his condition, against the Torah. And anyone who makes conditions against that which is stated by the Torah, tano batel. His tanai, his condition, is void, and therefore you're left with his original vow of Hareini Nazir. So, just to repeat the point, this Tanaic source shows that even partial, a condition that partially contradicts the Torah, his entire condition is then considered void, and you're left with the basic vow, Hareini Nazir, and therefore Reb Shimon would agree with that which it says in the Reisha that he is a Nazir. We continue in the Gemara, Yodea Ani Shehanozir Osir B'yayin. And we saw the Tanakama saying that he is not a Nazir. And then it went on to say that Reb Shimon prohibits. This, you can see, is a quote from the third section of the Mishnah. So, and we pointed this problem out before while we were reading the Mishnah. What's the problem, to repeat ourselves then? you have in the third section of the Mishnah an element of, we'll say, partial nazirus. He said, I know that a nazirus in wine, but I thought that I could get released from the nazirus because I couldn't handle the wine part, the wine aspect of the nazirus. So is this not in effect a partial nazirus acceptance? And we saw earlier in the Mishnah that when you have partial nazirus acceptance, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not bound. And here in this third section, you are bound. And hence the Gemara asks, Vohamris Reisha Asur, for Rabbi Shimon, Matir. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice we have some markings on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei, Mivneh heading, the Nosei, the topic heading, Mivneh, the structural note, a house appears. These are Gishos. These are a different approaches. Lahazbir liyashiv shitosam shel chachomim Rabbi Shimon binyan nozir b'miksas. We want to try to develop consistency in the opinions of the Chachamim throughout the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon throughout the Mishnah, regarding a, we'll call, partial Nazirus acceptance. Bereisha, in the earlier part of the Mishnah, we saw Tanakama Oyser Rabbi Shimon Matir. And Basefon, section 3 of the Mishnah, we saw just the opposite, Tanakama Matir, Rabbi Shimon Oser. So, approach 1 is the, we'll call, the simplest approach. And he says, Emo Nami, switch around the Seifa as well and say, Hareze also Rabbi Shimon Matir, making section 3 consistent with section 2. Viboyas Emo Leolam Lo Tepuch. A second approach says, don't switch anything around. And note, by the way, that this is a long answer. It'll take you down a number of lines down the top of Amud Beis. So the second approach says, don't switch anything around. Hasam, Reisha, and we're at the top of Amud Beis, in the Reisha case, Kagon, the Nozar Mechada. He accepted Nazirus from aspect of Nazirus. He was Nozar Mechada. L'rabbanon di'amri di'afilu lo nozar elo me'achas mehen have nozir v'osir. According to the Rabbanon, that when you accept Nazirus, you don't have to itemize all the details of Nazirus when accepting it. It's enough that you mention one aspect of Nazirus. That is enough to bind you. The Rabbi Shimon di'amar ad shi'yozir mikulon. But according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not a nozir until you accept all the details of Nazirus and specify each point of Nazirus, and accepting one point of Nazirus is not enough to bind you, therefore mutter, therefore you're not bound. Seifa, in section 3, the Nodar Mikulhu, V'yitshil Mechado, he actually accepted full Nazirus, and he sought a Torah sage to be released from one aspect of Nazirus. L'rabbonon di'amri afilu lo nozar elo me'achas mehen habe nozir. According to the Rabbonon, that place emphasis on one aspect of Nazirus, that if you abstain from one aspect, you become a full-fledged nozir, so that the subunit aspects of nozir, according to the Rabbonon, even a single one of them, has great significance. Ki mitchel mechad minayo ishtari. Even rescinding one of them through She'elas Chokhom, through the intervention of a sage, that has tremendous significance, and it removes the entire Nazirus. The Rabbi Shimon Diomar Aji Yozer Mikulon, according to Rabbi Shimon, who did not place a premium on an individual aspect of Nazirus, and says initial acceptance is not binding until you accept all the details. Ki mitchel nami mehahu, by seeking the rescission of a chacham of one detail of Nazirus is not significant. Ad machil mikulhu, until you would have all the aspects of Nazirus rescinded through the chacham. Mishum hachi kotoni, and therefore it says in the last part of the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon Oser. So given these explanations, that the Reisha was talking about an initial partial acceptance, and the Sefer was talking about an initial full acceptance and only a partial rescission, we come out with a reasonable explanation for the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon in each part of the Mishnah. The Iboy Esema, a third approach. Benidre Oinsin Komifugi, the machlokus between the controversy between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon concerns a category of vows called Nidre Oinsin. These are Nidorim that are taken under, we'll say, uncontrollable circumstances. Or, we'll say, the circumstances applying to this individual are beyond his control. What do we mean by that over here? Well, we're talking about a case of someone who cannot live without wine. And this Tanaic Machlokes will be clarified, or will be parallel to a later known Amoraic Machlokes, Ubeplukto de Shmuel v'Rav Asi. So what we have to do is we'll introduce a Tanaic source from Maseches Nedarim that alludes to this thing called Nidre Oinsim, Oinus being something beyond someone's control, circumstances that are beyond his control, and Rav Asi and Shmuel with regard to this topic, and then point out the parallel Rabbi Rabbonon, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Shimon. Disnan, Arbo Nidorim Hetiru Chachamim. There are four categories of vows, and here I can't translate the expression yet because this is the heart of the upcoming Gemara, but the Hebrew word is Hetiru Chachamim. Obviously, most of you probably understand that the word hetiru is associated with the word heter. Heter meaning permitted. So that you have four categories of vows that we find are not binding, that the Chachamim declare not binding. But like, how do they get to that point? We have to wait in the Gemara. Wait to see. What are the four categories? We're not going to dwell on the details. By all means, learn Maseches Nedarim along with Gemara markings, and these things will become clearer. The four categories are Nidre Ziruzim, Nidre Havai, Nidre Shgogos, Nidre Oinsin. And we're focusing right now on that fourth category, Nidre Oinsin. V'yomer Yehuda Amar Rav Asi, Arbo Nedarim Halalu, Tzrichim She'elu L'Chachamim. In order to have vows that are under these categories to be actually rescinded, the vower must consult with a Chacham. Ki amriso kamei de Shmuel, Rav Yehuda tells us that when he went and told this to Shmuel, Amali, Shmuel's reaction was other than that of Rav Asi. He says, Tana Kotani, the Tana uses the expression hetiru chachamim, hetiru chachamim, in its simplest form, would mean the rabbis declared are heter, are permitted, are not binding. If they declared they're not binding at the outset, why would Rav Asi say that you have to consult with a sage to have it rescinded? So we have a machlokas then, dealing with nidre oinsim, a neder that is associated with circumstances beyond the individual's control. And here we have someone that accepted Nazirus, but it turns out he can't live without wine. What is the story? Rabbanon, the Rabbanon in our Mishnah that we saw are Matir. We're referring to the last section of Mishnah, section 3, where the fellow declared, I can't live without wine. So you're dealing with Nidre Oinsim. And the Chachamim were Matir. So the Chachamim in the Mishnah, Rabbonon Savri Kishmuel, the Rabbonon hold like Shmuel, that the Neder doesn't get off the ground. The Nazirus doesn't get off the ground. The poor chap can't live without wine. He doesn't become a Nazir. No additional release elements are necessary. That's the Rabbonon's approach, like that of Shmuel. For Rabbi Shimon, who declared in the Mishnah Osir that he's bound, Kravasi. He also Kravasi, and that means that as long as he hasn't consulted with a Chacham, as long as he wasn't Shoyol on his nether, as long as he didn't receive formal sage rescission of the nether, he is still bound. And that's why Reb Shimon said, also, he was talking about that point in time until prior to the Vower's consultation with a Chacham for formal release. The Mishnah. Hareini Nozir, V'olai L'galeach Nozir. This expression, V'olai L'galeach Nozir, is another way of saying, and upon me, I am going to bring the sacrifices for my friend, for another fellow who happens to be a Nozir, and I will bring his sacrifices on the day that he takes his haircut. So we have someone, in effect, committing himself to two things. First of all, he's committing himself to a personal Nazirus. And secondly, he is obligating himself to bring the sacrifices for his friend that happened to be a Nazir. V'shama chavero v'yomar v'ani v'olai l'galeach Nazir. And his friend hears him and says, and he says, v'ani, and me, and upon me also to bring sacrifices. So we have two people that are Nazirim, and the second fellow hears what the first fellow said. Im hoyu pikhim, if they are wise, megalchin ze eze, they will bring the sacrifices for one another, and with that they'll then be exempt from bringing any further korbanos. Ve'im, and what in effect, so Mr. A will bring the sacrifices for Mr. B, and with Mr. B's conclusion of his own nazirus, so the Mr. A will be taking care of the sacrifices, and Mr. B will be taking care of the sacrifices for Mr. A's personal nazirus. And as a result, so you see that each person is only buying one set of Nazirus sacrifices. V'im lav, if they're not pikhim, which means if they're not sharp or not on the ball, then megalchim Nazirim achirim. They will end up having to buy sacrifices for other Nazirim, in addition to bringing sacrifices for themselves. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side of our topic heading. The Nosei reads, Hareini Nozir V'alai L'Galeach Nozir. Someone accepts upon himself Nazirus, and he also commits himself to bring Korbanos for another Nazir. V'shoma Chavero V'yomar V'ani. And his friend hears this, and he says just that word, V'ani. In the Mishnah, we saw a friend standing by the side and saying more. He said, "Va'ani v'olai l'galeach nazir." In the case that the Gemara is asking about, is that the friend says just the word "va'ani." Ha'im va'ani koy al kulei diburei de rishon. Does the va'ani, when he says "and me too," does that go on everything the first guy said? Which would then mean that the listener who said "va'ani," he'll become a Nazir, and he'll bring, he's accepting, or he's obligating himself to bring some other Nazir sacrifices. Or, by saying Vani, he's only referring to one of the two things that the first individual said. That's going to be the Gemara's question. As far as the response to that, you'll see if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll see triangles appear. And under our Mivneh heading, the triangle represents Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the play-by-play of the Gemara. With the point facing up, Nisoyon lohochiach devani koy apalga de diburei, an attempt to conclude that the Vani is going only on half of what the first guy said, and the inverted triangle would be a dechia, a rejection of that attempt. Now the Gemara. Shoma chavero v'yomar vani mahu. And as we explained, we're talking about a case where the first guy said, Hareini nozir, v'olai legaleach nozir, and the listener says, Vani mahu. What is the result? Vani akule dibure mashma. Does the word vani imply I agree with, I too agree with everything you said, or accept everything you said? Oidilma apalge the dibure mashma. Or does vani go only on half of what the first guy said? And im tim silomer apalge dibure mashma, if you say that vani is going only on part, only on half of what the first guy said, well, the first guy said two things. Aresha o asefa, is the second fellow who said vani obligating himself to the first statement of the initial speaker, or to the second statement of the initial speaker? The ratio would be acceptance of personal zeros. Asefa, this would be the self-imposed obligation to bring some other nozir's sacrifices. Well, the Gemara tries to answer. Toshma vani volai lugaylech nozir. This is a quote, of course, from our Mishnah. And the Mishnah went on to say, im hoyu pikhim megalchin ze eze. If they're wise, they'll bring each other's sacrifices. So now, in the case of the Mishnah, we saw the responder, the listener, the second guy, saying, vani ve'olai. Midikomar vani ve'olai. Shma mino vani apalge didibure. From the fact that when we saw in the Mishnah the responder or the chavero saying both expressions, in other words, va'ani was not enough to replicate everything the first guy said. In addition to saying va'ani, the second fellow said also ve'olai legaleach nazir. So we conclude from here that va'ani goes only on part, only on half of what he said. Only on half of what the first guy said. The Gemara continues and says, Amri, in apalge de dibure mashma. I grant you that vani goes only on part of what he said. Mihu, but there remains the question, aresha o asefa. Is the vani a replication of the first part of the initial fellow's comment, or the second part of the initial fellow's comment? The Gemara answers, Mino. Mino means from the Mishnah itself that you cited to prove the first question, you can derive an answer to your second question. Midika Omar ve'olai legaleach, from the fact that the second guy, the responder, he said ve'olai legaleach. In other words, he duplicated what the first guy said regarding the acceptance of sacrifices, the acceptance to bring some other nozir sacrifices, and the second guy duplicated that. Shma mino vani al tchilas dibura mashma. It must be then that the ve'ani that the second fellow said is going on the first statement of the initial speaker, namely the personal acceptance of the Nazirus in our case. The Gemara raises a question. Omar le Rav Huna bre de Rav Yoshua le Rava mimai de hachihu. Who says that that's the way it is? Li oilum e moloch vani akule de dibura. I will tell you that really the vani in the Mishnah, the vani of the second guy, covers everything the first guy said. And if you'll say, well then, if vani replicates everything the first fellow said, my ko'omar v'olai, what did he mean with the v'olai? Behamilsa. And I am with you in this manner. In other words, even if he didn't say V'olai legaleach nozir, the Va'ani would have covered that. So that the V'olai legaleach nozir is simply a clarification and a elucidation of what his intention was. But he would have been obligated anyway had he not added, had Mr. Two not added V'olai legaleach nozir, because V'ani is akule dibura. And Rav Huna goes on to prove his point. The ilo tema hachi, the katani seifa. If you don't agree with this, well, what about that which it says in a in an upcoming Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis, where the Mishnah features the following: Hare olai legaleach chatzi nozir, v'shoma chavero v'yomar v'ani olai legaleach chatzi nozir. Hasa mi ika tartin mili. In that case, the opening phrase, Hare olai legaleach chatzi nozir, are there two matters there? Are there two things there? There aren't two things there. There isn't any, we'll say, initial acceptance of nazirus. All there is the person obligating himself to bring half the sacrifices of a nazir. Elomai ko omar. In that case, in the Seifa, when the responder said, Va'ani olai legaleach chatzi nozir. Notice, he used the word Va'ani, and he added olai legaleach chatzi nozir. What was he saying? Olai behamilsa, meaning it's upon me with you in this matter. In other words, it's simply a clarification. And that in the Seifa, it's very clear that Va'ani would have been enough. Because, as we just said, there aren't two things there that we have to debate what's it going on. There's only one statement made by the initial speaker, Hare olai legaleach chatzi nozir, and the responder could have simply said Vani, that he adds olai legaleach is what the Gemara says, olai bahamil, so it's really just a mere clarification, but not a necessary clause. Hachonami in the ratio as well, ki ko'omar olai, Behamilsa, when he said olai legaleach nozir, it was simply a clarification. I am with you in this matter, but in truth, va'ani would have been akule dibure. It would have covered everything. So at the end of this, you see Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yeshua, is making his point. And if you look at our markings, we had dashed, underlined Rav Huna's comment, Vani Akule Debura. And this is a challenge to the previous dash, underline, where we had noted, Shmami no Vani Apalgi de Debura. Omar Le Rava. So now Rava responds to Rav Huna Braid Rav Shua's question. Actually, Rav Huna had pointed this out to Rava. Now Rava responds. Hachi hashta. How can you, we'll say, compare the seifa to the ratio, or how can you prove the understanding of our Mishnah from Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis, the Mishnah over there? E amrs bishlama ratio tsricha. Things will make more sense if you say that in our Mishnah here on Yud Aleph Amid Beis that the v'olai legaleach nozir is actually an essential expression, without which the speaker, when he would have said the responder, when he would have said just Va'ani, he would have been obligating himself only to one aspect of the two points made by the first speaker. So therefore, the additional V'olai is necessary. Seifa lo tzricha, the Mishnah later on Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis, there in fact the olai is not necessary. So we have olai legaleach nozir in our mission as being necessary, and the olai legaleach chatzi nozir in the next mission is not really necessary. There weren't in fact two points to respond to anyway. there's a legitimate Mishnah style. Tani Seifa Delo Tzricha Mishum Reisha De Tzricha. This happens from time to time that Mishnayos, it's true that they're separated page-wise, but just you have to realize it's one, we'll say, in your mind's eye, it's one long Mishnah. The Seifa just appears on Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis. So the end of the Mishnah contains something that's not really necessary because it's coming on the heels of the Reisha where it really was necessary. Just once again, this is an acceptable Tanaic style, where if at one point in the Mishnah the information was necessary, so in a second case it might teach using the same terminology, even though there in the later case it's not necessary. Eloi Yamris, but if you're going to go like Rav Huna Brev Yeshua suggested, that Reisha Lo Tzricha. If you're going to go like Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, that the V'ani really covers everything, and that the continued expression V'alayla Galech Nazir was really unnecessary. So we have our Mishnah with the V'alayla Galech being unnecessary, so Reisha Lo Tzricha, and then the Seifa certainly not necessary, Seifa Lo Tzricha. What do we then have? We have an entire Mishnah with the unessential information in it. Tani Reisha de Lo Tzricha, but Tani Seifa de Lo Tzricha. Is the Mishnah trying to accumulate unnecessary words? The Reisha would have something that's not necessary, and the Seifa also something that's not necessary. Therefore, Rava's point is that the Va'ani is really a palga de dibure. It only covers half of what the initial speaker had mentioned. If the initial speaker mentioned 2 points and the responder says Va'ani, it really covers only half. And as far as the Seifa is concerned, that the V'olai L'gayach Nozer there is really, in fact, unessential. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.